This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are listening to Checkpoint Intimates, where two members of the Checkpoint team get downright intimate with each other. I am here with Rachel.
Hi, I'm ready to get intimate with you.
And my name is Cameron. And on today's show, we discussed video game movies, Rachel.
We did. We discussed what was working, what wasn't working, whether they should be made.
What wasn't working was more of a topic, I believe. We're talking about those the movies that are based with video games as their, and what they're based on, as their kind of...
How they sneak it in.
Yeah. What we didn't get to talk about, though, is video games... Movies that have video games as a subject matter. So these aren't necessarily linked to an existing franchise, but they are very referential and very tied to video game culture.
Oh, yeah. Like some games have a premise, but still throw video games at you like, you know, snags at a sausage sizzle.
And it's quite interesting because with a few of them, we actually end up with the video game movies we've always deserved.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a quick chat about the ones that we know, you and I, because you know, we've been around a while, so we've seen a lot of them.
We've played our consoles from the Atari, maybe, a little bit.
We've been at this for some time. Yeah. And we just thought, with at the moment, you've got things like Ready Player One out, which is based off a book, but even the book, when it was written, was really referential of pop culture and video game culture of the time, and it's all about virtual reality and video games.
It's a fantastic book. I'm just putting that out there right now.
And so it's been brought into modern times, and rather than keeping it as a kind of set piece of the 80s, they modernized it. And you can even see in the previews, you see a lot of characters that you'll recognize from modern gaming. You'll see Tracer, you'll see people from like the Iron Giant, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you see a lot of them. So... we're not going to talk about that one because it's still at cinemas, so you might want to see it.
Yeah, we're going to try and stay a little spoiler-free for something modern.
Yeah, spoiler-free. And we'll come back and let's go back early. Let's go way back, Rachel.
Yeah?
We're going to go back in time to one that I remember as a kid. What?
Let's go back in time. Let's go way back. Sorry, it's two songs.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for that. Let's talk about Tron.
Ooh.
So Tron was such a big thing. It was Disney.
Let's and get
Disney
our light
took
discs
a
on.
Big risk with this. It was filmed in an interesting way and was completely about a young man, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Who went to go play at an arcade and was sucked into this gaming world where they had been enslaved by programs. And it was very, very futuristic dystopian.
It was actually done really well. I know it. A lot of people have either one opinion of Tron or another. There's no people who kind of sit on the fence with Tron, I've noticed. You're either like, yay, Tron, or ugh, Tron. There's no one who kind of like walks the line with Tron.
I'd like to introduce myself. I'm about, ugh. Like, I'm not, really? Like, I'm not against it, but I don't think it's amazing. I think it did some amazing things, and I think it's important.
Yeah, see? So you're kind of like on that pro side of Tron.
Yeah, I'm definitely more pro Tron. I'm not negative Tron. I think it was important. I think it did some great things. I think it was visually just so different from everything that was out there at the time.
I think it was very different from what was out at the time.
And it tied into this idea early on of a world within a video game that we didn't know about. And that's, I think, where these kind of things work well. So it's not necessarily taking an existing video game.
Yeah.
None of these are games that we know. They look like games we know, but they're all new IPs, dare I say. But what it did was it played on the idea that we're interested to know what's going on in there.
Well, yeah, I think considering when Tron came out, there was no virtual reality living in the world of the game. That, like, the original Tron.
Well, also, unlike today where you can be like, how is that made? I'll go look it up and, you know, find out and learn. Back in those days, you know, it came out in the 80s, and the information wasn't just, like, you didn't just learn how to make a video game online.
Yeah.
You know, it was a skill that a lot of people were, you know, self-taught. They learnt programming. They went from there and they built it up. So it was still a bit of an unknown to general crowds.
Yeah, it was definitely a path being paved at the time.
Yeah, and so this was a game that looked and said, maybe there's more under the hood than what you think. You don't know. Do you know how to develop a game? Oh, it's the 80s.
Yeah, who says that the programs can't run everything inside and can enslave you?
Yeah, and so that ties into, I think, a few games of the era. You've also got games like War Games and The Last Starfighter.
Oh, you mean like, yeah, those movies were definitely influential in that. In that 80s era.
Yeah, that era where it was, again, the mysticism of the game a little bit. Less so with War Games, but Starfighter, it literally was like, oh no, no human made this. It's an alien thing that we're using to test you. Oh, it's alien.
Yeah.
And again, it played on that idea that people don't know video games. It is an unknown commodity.
Yeah, like as a child watching The Last Starfighter, we all kind of like were like, oh yeah, every video game I play, maybe I'm being tested by an alien to go fight their war for them.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Next time I'm playing Space Invaders, I could be taken. You know, who
I think that's the thing. And these worked because they focused on the idea of games being a platform for fantasy.
Yeah, every child wants to watch a movie and go, my fantasy, like, every time I play games, that's my fantasy. Watching a movie.
Going into the game. You want to be in the game.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's something that did really well. The other side of that with War Games was much more of that kind of, I wouldn't say realistic, but it was more of that, you know, I'm playing the game and the story is, that's central to the plot, but it's not fantastical. It's things like War Games and The Wizard.
I think The Wizard was definitely more G-rated, whereas War Games was PG. There's like this distinction in these movies where you've got The Wizard, you're a kid, you're playing your way through a competition, and it was the thing about The Wizard is that it had this marketing component to it as well.
Yeah, big time.
There was this big Nintendo marketing component because it was all SNES orientated, and it had a hint for the Super Mario Brothers 3, which hadn't been released yet, and there was. It was a skyrocketing platform for that game. And I think it had the Power Glove or something.
Yeah, the Power Glove. It was how they launched the Power Glove outside of Japan. They used this movie as kind of like, they jumped on its back and it was a big ad.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's a mixed thing with that. It does feel a little bit like an ad when you watch it back. But with it was a character-driven story that focused on these characters that gaming might be a big part of their life. And that was something that a lot of gamers at that point, that didn't exist. Even today, it's hard to find anything that treats gamers with any kind of autonomy.
Let's move on.
The word I know what word I'm trying to say, and so do you, I bet.
Yeah.
But like, there's, you know, we're still treated as children a lot in gaming, and this gave like these children that loved gaming a bit more fleshed out character, and they weren't just, you know, basement dwellers.
Yeah, no, we had sort of some sort of premise outside of the basement, and it was good. Whereas, like, then you go to War Games, and things got a little bit more serious. Like, shit got real.
Yeah, it was definitely a darker turn. With War Games, if people don't know it, basically a gamer hacks into the US military and takes over their War Games, which is controlling their, like, tanks and such, yes?
Yeah, like, the rockets, the tanks, like, you're in control of everything, and it got real. Like,
yeah, it was this hacker vibe that was going through the, I believe it was the early 90s was War Games. Maybe late 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s. I think it was, like, some sort of,
I think it might have been just 80s, but it was this thing that went through for a while that hackers were dangerous, they were bad.
83, actually, War Games.
Early 80s.
Yeah, 83, and it was all about hacking.
Wow.
So, you know, computer hackers break into the military intelligence computer to play games.
Oh, well, that's what you want. And so it kind of was painting this really dangerous picture of gamers that, you know, there was no consequence and we couldn't. Could that be, you know, a beginning point? I don't think it is.
Well,
could it have been a beginning point for where people started to say, gamers can't tell what's a game and what's real life. Look at War Games.
Well, it almost starts a thermonuclear war, you know.
Yeah.
So,
oh no. There's been some other ones that weren't as huge. Things like Lawnmower Man, which is really freaky, which is all about virtual intelligence and AI. So it's less gaming and more he got into a virtual space.
Yeah, Lawnmower Man used to creep me out. I'm not going to lie. It was that head.
Yeah, the head in that was really creepy.
That face really creeped me out. And Lawnmower Man was in the 90s. So things had kind of moved on from the 80s. So the 80s was like more, like less CGI, I guess.
Yep.
And the 90s, this was 92, so.
Was heavy on that. Do you remember the TV show Reboot?
Yes.
It was that CGI. That real, like, shiny CGI.
Yeah, and Lawnmower Man used this heavily.
Yeah, it did. It really freaked me out. Other ones that weren't as big, things like the Stay Alive, which was a horror movie that I remember seeing, and it was all about if you played this horror game and if you died in the game, you died in real life.
Yeah, you were just telling me about this, and I read the synopsis for it because I've not seen it. And now I'm keen to see it because it just looks like great trash.
It is like D-grade horror. It's so trashy and it's so weird. I remember watching it and it was before I got into horror games because I didn't get into horror games until I was well into my adulthood. And I didn't get into them until like the last 10 years since I was like 24. And even then, like, sometimes I need to make sure my husband's in the house because I get scared.
See, the fact that this is a movie that premises a horror game for me, that just, and it's like so far down the alphabet on how trashy it is, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Other one was Gamer, came out a few years ago, and it starred Gerard Butler, and it was another one of those ones that painted a picture of humans, gamers, not seeing the difference between real life and the game and not valuing human life. This was essentially a situation where you controlled an ex-con in a game, but you were actually controlling them. There was brain implants that let you take control of their body.
So it's kind of like real life, Second Life.
Yeah. And then it was all about like these ex-cons doing basically Call of Duty. And it was very awkward kind of, it painted us not in the best picture. And then he tries to bring down the government that put this in place with the teenager controlling him. And he goes into like another zone and he finds his wife is in like a second life.
Derek. Yeah.
For the point existence where she's like, you know, can't control herself and is super sexy, and some man somewhere else is controlling her doing her things. And it painted us not in the best light. Even if there was a good character, it set up this idea that gamers had let this happen and we were totally okay with real people killing each other.
I feel
because
like
they're ex-cons, so it's alright.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Oh,
ex-cons,
no, it's okay.
Rachel.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not human life.
I feel like this would make a great, like, mini episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I would see in Black Mirror. Yeah. I feel. But at the same time, I think it would be handled with much more nuance.
Yeah, no, I feel like it would be less tacky, more well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other ones that, if we're going to talk tacky, that's all right. I think the tackiest video game referential movie that's out there.
I feel like this is now a good time to bring it in. Yeah,
let's do it. So let's talk Pixels.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Pixels is a Adam Sandler project on the train that is Adam Sandler, that he just seems to be able to do whatever he wants regardless of how his movie
sells.
You want
to say train wreck, I believe.
Train wreck.
Mm, that's the term you're looking for.
So it doesn't matter what he does. He's able to just keep making these movies. And Pixels, he jumped onto. And look, Pixels as an idea, I was actually kind of on board with. Like, there's a concept there that I am like, I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we sent out video games as a way of, like, our vintage video games as a way of speaking to the world. And now, you know, like, they've come back to us against us. Like, it was a statement of war.
See, look, here's the problem. There was a premise and there was a good idea and there was a reasonably good concept to it.
And then Adam Sandler.
And then he kind of got it all and he threw it up in the air. And then the shredder came down and it shredded all of our ideas into, like, mindless despair.
But there's fun things like Qubit being one of the, like, team that's, you know, trying to help. Like, Qubit is a part of the system. But then at the end, they turn Qubit into a sexy woman so that she can date one of the, like,
characters.
It's so weird.
I was on board with Qubit being the savior of this movie right up until that point.
Yeah.
And
also, I can't remember the actor's name, but he plays Paul Blart, the Mall Cop. Him as a president is not believable at all. But they brought in, like, people like the creator of Pac-Man, who then, you know, had his hand bitten off by his creation.
Yeah, was wrong for me.
They brought in Peter Dinklage, who's... Yeah. Weirdly, like, for all of his acting chops, has some really bad movies.
He's actually quite a really classically trained actor too, which is kind of sad.
But again, the entire film painted a picture of these people who were picked to help the army because they were, you know, they had the highest numbers on all of the, you know, video games.
The classic video games. Not just so new video
Donkey
games.
Donkey Kong and
Pac-Man.
Space Invaders, Tetris. They knew how to play these games. So it brought them in to fight back. But then they were all painted in these terrible, terrible pictures where one's an ex-con, one, like, they're all basement dweller, they're all a bit sad, like...
One was, like, a total cheater who used, like, you know, a cheat code or
yeah,
some
like
sort
a cheat coin or something coin, that you can yeah. put in. It and, was just it was just a bit gross.
It just made us look like douches.
Really. I'd like to talk, though, about some that I think really have got the nail on the head. There are a few that I think got it just right. The first one being Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph is awesome.
Wreck-It Ralph embodies so much of what is wonderful about gaming, and it put it all into one space, and it did that thing that other previous games have done about the, you know, they did for toys, like Toy Story with toys, Wreck-It Ralph video games.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
It gave personality to all these games.
Yeah, it took out the characters we love and gave them an extra level outside of the game and made us love them that little bit more than we already did.
And they did it by taking away really recognizable characters, except for the occasional pop-up. Your main characters are all a generic kind of, here is a shooter character, here is an, you know, an old vintage arcade character, and here is a racing game character. They're your four kind of big characters there. And then you'd have appearances from the more recognizable, Zangief, Bowser, Cubert, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what you didn't get was, you know, here's this character, here's this character. Look how referential we're being. We're so referential, which I think is what Player One is doing a little bit.
Yeah, and they didn't throw in like, here's this tagline, here's that tagline, here's, you know, everyone's catchphrase, blah, 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 blah.
So it was a story with heart first, and then it was about video game characters. And I feel like it's one of the closest, I think it's one of the best video game movies that we've ever been graced with.
I think it's the closest we're going to get to the best video game movie we're going to get graced with, possibly.
Well, so you say that, but I think there's also another one, which was such a shocking surprise to me. I did not see this coming. I went into this movie thinking, this is going to be trash. It was one of my favorite movies last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
You know what? I actually have to agree that I was going to, like, the first trailer I saw for this.
Not on board.
Like, same. The first one I saw, I was like, slap my hands, I'm out. Yep. I was just like, no, I'm outie. That's it.
And then the second trailer came out, I'm like, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
And then we went in, and my group of friends, we do like a bad movie night, and we decided to go see it. And we went into this one, and it was just so much fun and so referential of video game thinking and mechanics and how we work and like when you couldn't skip a cutscene and all this stuff. And it was like, there was all these comments where I'm like, this is coming from someone who's clearly been a gamer, but is not defined by being a gamer.
Yeah, it's like, I've played these games. I've played through this awkward moment in a game. I've been stuck doing this. I've been stuck doing that. I've watched, you know, kind of even like where a character is sort of overtly sexualized was kind of not.
It was done in such a way that I, yes, I went, you didn't have to do it. But at the same time, if you're going to do it, this is how you do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You've deliberately referenced its existence. You've deliberately pointed at it and gone, this was a... And here's the thing. People are like, oh, well, we shouldn't have done it. I'm like, but when you look at it, the video game was set in a time period where that thing was happening. And if we ignore things that we've come from, where we've come from in terms of gaming, if we ignore the fact that women were super sexualized in gaming for quite some time, then we're kind of ignoring... It's like... Looney Tunes these days, whenever they do one of their old, they air one of their more racist or questionable cartoons, they put at the front, we've not edited this and we're airing it as it is. We recognize that it's not where we are now, but to ignore where we've come from is to repeat those mistakes.
Yeah.
I think this game, this movie was pointing at that and going, there was a time when this is how it was. And if you ignore that, you're kidding yourself.
And I think the way... who the characters were in each one was well done.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
Tron Legacy I don't think was as successful. It just was a lot of show.
I think Tron Legacy was just trying to continue a story and going, hey, Tron was popular. Everyone likes those little disc frisbees that are lights, right? Hey, we can do that.
Yeah,
there's
we'll
something
just do
here,
lots
right?
of those yeah. the entire thing.
There's some marketing to be had here. Let's do Tron Legacy.
But I think another one, and this one isn't necessarily a video game movie. It's not based around video games. But it's, again, another one that I think inserted a video game culture into the movie that was really refreshing. And that's Scott Pilgrim versus the Universe.
I love this movie, and a lot of people hate it, but I
really
yeah, it's one of those movies that people either love or they hate it with a passion, and I love it with a passion.
I was lucky enough, I got to go to the screening with the director when it was here in Melbourne, and I got to talk to him afterwards, and it's still a movie that I can put on if I'm feeling blue. This movie is to brighten me up. It does something that, you know, Street Fighter, Dead or Alive, Mortal Kombat, any of those movies have always felt a bit contrived with how they set up for a fight. Scott Pilgrim, those fight scenes, they felt like video game fights.
Yeah, they did. Well, I mean, because he had like the life and the...
Yeah, and he had like the starting point. And there was just a lot about Scott Pilgrim that was a love letter to gaming, and I think was really nice for gamers to see.
And that's in the... And it comes from the comics as well. So it's in... It's in that like...
It's ingrained.
Yeah. It's in that universe already. So it was carried forward well. And transitioned well. And I think it was already there for those who love the universe and those who live it quite well received.
Well, that's about all the ones that we really know about. We do have one coming up. I think it's next year it's coming out. It's the sequel to Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. And it looks to look more into like online gaming and mobile gaming. And it's already looking like it's heading in the right direction. And it will apparently feature a cameo from everyone's favorite Italian plumber.
Yes.
Luigi. No, Mario.
No, I think it should be Luigi.
I think it should be Waluigi.
Oh my God, it should be all the Wars.
All the Wars.
All the
Waluigi, Wars. Wario, and the yet-to-be-revealed Weech.
Ooh!
Yeah, I'm here
I'm
for
down
Weech.
For Weech.
But Rachel, thank you so much for being intimate with me about all these video game movie tie-in extravaganza explosions.
That's okay, I'm happy to be intimate with you anytime.
No, you've been listening to Checkpoint Intimate.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.